Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Pod. My name is Jeff Budke, alongside, over the phone, long via distance traveled, Peyton Moreno. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Up here in Seattle and Portland, Northwest represent.
It feels weird being so far away from my team, and then I remembered I'm closer to them than you are right now.
It's true. At this moment, at least.
Technically speaking.
Well, probably still in April. You will be April 1 until they get here on the 8th.
Oh, you're right.
I'm going to that game.
Are you going to the opener?
I'm going to the home opener. And also, I have my mom and I share a 16-game season ticket package. And so they have this season ticket holder opening day party where they're going to show the game on the big screen. April 1, I'm pretty stoked for that. Free food, free parking and all that, so I'm pretty excited.
Is it in the pen?
No, it's in the club level, the terrace club or whatever.
So far, the coolest thing that we've ever said on this podcast is that you and your mom share a season ticket package.
Hey, it means less money.
I meant that with no sarcasm.
Oh, yeah, my mom is a huge Mariners fan, and so am I.
Great,
she kind of got me into it as a kid, so I owe it all to her.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we are really excited for April 1st, the season opener. It's going to be King Felix facing off against Brett Anderson of the A's down in Oakland. I feel like we've opened against Oakland many times now, last couple years.
Definitely last year in Japan. I don't remember the year before, but I feel like it's always Oakland.
And Oakland defending AL West champs. It feels weird to say that as well, considering the teams that played in the West last year.
And, you know, saying that doesn't leave a bad taste in my mouth, but it does leave a weird taste in my mouth. It's just kind of like, oh. Because, I mean, I'd rather Oakland win the division than Texas or LA.
I couldn't agree more with that. And I'm happy because I think about what they did, the way they turned around that organization and really did it with good young pitching and good players, young players. And, it gives me hope.
Yeah.
Also a little jealousy.
Seriously. I mean, I was in Florida last summer, and I kind of happened across these Oakland fans who were vacationing in the same spot as me.
Wow.
And I was wearing a Mariner shirt, and they were wearing Oakland shirts, and we kind of passed knowing glances like, oh, God, what a rough division. And then I thought of them when, months later, when Oakland ended up sweeping Texas and winning the AL West, I was like, oh, I bet they're happy.
And they did. They surprised everyone.
Seriously.
So we're opening a new segment this year. We're going to call it the Why We Love Felix segment of the day. We should announce it now. We are planning on doing a bi-weekly podcast. That does not mean every other week, although I suppose it could. Hopefully at the end or the beginning of every series that the Mariners play, Peyton and I will be coming to you, giving our Mariners information as best as we can.
As close as humanly possible as we can get to the end, to being able to cap off every series that they play. Because, I mean, we might have, a 1 week, we might have stuff going on, but we're going to try to do it pretty religiously.
And it's going to be great. The Why We Love Felix of the Day, on Friday, we got to see just a taste of why we love this man named Felix Hernandez. He went against the Padres. They capped him at 6 innings, but he gave up 2 hits, no walks, no runs, and had 9 strikeouts. And I don't know if you were able to see any of it, but the highlights, just the strikeouts, were pretty nasty. And his velocity is up, and we're not going to spend too much time talking about Felix, but it was exciting to see nonetheless.
And, we've come to expect good pitching from Felix, and so it always gets me excited when I see it, absolutely. But the reason I love Felix this time around most is probably because he went out and, with his own money, no team, no nothing, bought dinner for all of the minor league players, which was really nice of him. And it kind of shows that he's sort of accepting that leadership role that he's going to have on this team with the big-time deal that he signed and the big-time pitcher that he is. So that's why I love Felix today. I mean, obviously, when he performs well, I love him, but love it when he'll show those minor league players that he cares and that he's willing to assume that role.
It was cool to see that as a leader of this team, because I talked to you about what does that look like for a pitcher, and we're learning. We can see it right now what it is.
Felix.
In an interview the next day, which was telecasted, it was on TV on Root Sports. Felix was being interviewed by Rick Riz, and they asked him about his perfect game, and Felix talked about how about the seventh inning, you know, most pitchers, they try to avoid thinking about it. They do their best to not acknowledge that it's happening. He thought to himself, I got to do this. And like, the next three innings, he just went out thinking about the perfect game to do it for Seattle.
Okay, I know we're talking about Felix right now, but you mentioned Rick Riz, and it really makes me want to shift gears to something that we don't have planned at all, which, who is your favorite announcer for the Mariners? Radio, TV, whatever. Who do you like the most?
We're obviously talking current, correct? Because
I mean, it's going to be Niehaus if I mean current.
My oh my is not going to be, yeah. It's Rick Riz for me. Just the calming presence on the radio. I don't dislike Dave Simms. Go ahead and I'd like to hear your response before we discuss.
I actually agree with you, Rick Riz, big time. But I don't care for Dave Simms that much. Not because he's bad, but Daniel and I always get angry about this. He seems to get really excited when something good happens to either team. So like, if something good happens to the Mariners, he gets really stoked. But if something good happens to whatever team we're playing against, he'll lose it for them too. And we're just kind of like, dude, you're our hometown guy. Like,
you want just, him?
Yeah, just like, if something good happens to them, tell it like it is. But don't be like, and that's a monster home run. Like, you know, don't freak out over it. Makes me mad. I'm already mad that bad things are happening to my team repeatedly every year.
Every day.
So yeah, I do like Mike Blowers though.
I do too.
And it was weird when Dan Wilson would be on the radio, because I felt like it would be like Rick Riz would say something and then Dan Wilson would say the exact same thing that Rick Riz just said, except for repeated in a slightly different way. So I mean, but I liked him better than the guy who he had who was there most of the time last year. That older guy.
I really disliked the older guy whose name I don't remember.
It was like red something. Like, his name was like a color.
He would always talk about how he didn't like it when players dove for a baseball because you are faster when you run, and it really irritated me. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I didn't play baseball like in college or pros or anything, but I know that sometimes you have to dive for a baseball. It's not irresponsible.
Yeah. Rick Riz takes the cake big time on this one, and I like Mike Blowers too, but definitely Rick Riz I'm not gonna like draw the comparison between him and Niehaus because I don't think they're necessarily comparable, but I could see him being a guy who sticks around for a long time and kind of cements himself as a guy people know around the league.
The Mariners have a new broadcaster named Aaron Goldsmith this year as well. I have enjoyed listening to him during spring training. He does come across as a very non-partial announcer, like you talked about. He's definitely not a Mariners fan. He talked about how he grew up in St. Louis. He grew up cheering for the Cardinals. And that was fine to hear, but it just means it's going to take me a lot longer to attach the Mariners to his voice.
Well, and he'll grow into it. I mean, if he sticks around, if it all works out for him and he sticks around and he's here for like 10 years or whatever, you bet that after watching every single game of every single season of the Mariners for 10 straight years or whatever, he's probably going to be a fan. I mean, you don't just not be a fan after watching the same team for so long, I think.
That's true. So we're going to transition smoothly here to Mike Blowers. Last week was on the radio and he was talking about new pitcher Brandon Maurer. How are we going to pronounce that? Let's decide right now.
Let's do Maurer.
Just like Brandon Morrow, but Brandon Maurer.
Yeah, Maurer. Let's do Maurer.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I've been, since the end of last year, I've been writing about Erasmo Ramirez is going to be that fifth starter. He's going to surprise people. Today he was sent down to the minors, and we think it's because this Brandon Maurer kid has been a lot better than we anticipated. What do you know about this kid? What do you like?
I know that he is forcing himself into the Mariners' plans a lot earlier than I think that they anticipated him to be there, if you know what I'm saying. And I love seeing young players do that.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think that this is it for Erasmo Ramirez either. I bet he gets called up intermittently and then maybe gets a permanent spot, you know, on the major league roster if someone in the rotation doesn't work out. Because, like, the odds that all five of them are going to all work out really well are kind of, you know,
slim to none.
Yeah, and I mean, like, they're the obvious ones, like Felix, and I guess it's probably a stretch to call Iwakuma obvious. Even it's a stretch to call any of them like obvious successes other than Felix. So I mean, I don't think Ramirez will be in the minors all year, but you know, I'm cool with this. I want to see what this young guy can do. He has no experience above AAA other than this, or AA rather, other than spring training this year. So let's throw him in there. Let's see what he's got.
I actually wrote an article on Brandon Mauer this morning, and I was looking at his numbers this summer or this spring. 20 innings pitched, 19 hits, 6 walks, 22 strikeouts, more than a strikeout per inning, and a .9 ERA. I was looking at some of his minor league numbers last year with Jackson, AA. He only pitched 137 innings, and his numbers were pretty similar, a little bit lower strikeout rate, but a 3.2 ERA. Over 137 innings, it shows consistency.
Yeah, and you know, it's like he's in the minors, or not the minors, he's in spring training right now, so he's not seeing the best that the majors has to offer, but I mean, he's done so well that you know it's going to translate to at least decent numbers come the regular season. And I'm really excited to see what he can do, but my optimism is very cautious. Like, if he turns out to be a flop, I won't be surprised or upset, because after every year having young guys shoved in my face who are supposed to be the, you know, saving grace of this team, i.e. Dustin Ackley, Justin Smoke,
yeah,
and then they kind of, you know, oh, I'm going to bat .210 and hit, like, you know, 8 homers or whatever, you know, I've gotten over hanging my hat on that, but I'd love to see him do well.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, Brandon Mauer, one thing that I've noticed, I got to watch a little bit of the game yesterday against the Reds, where, by the way, the Mariners won 16-0.
I didn't watch that game, but I got the text update on my phone, and when it came through that they won 16-0, I was like, wow, we crushed them. How did that go? I wanted to look at the box score, but never got a chance.
Smoke was 2-for-2, Saunders 2-for-2 with a home run, Montero nice. Had 6 RBI, but Mauer pitched really well. What I've noticed about him and what I've seen this spring is he allows base runners. Base runners get on base, but he leaves them there. He doesn't allow them to get in a scoring position, and he doesn't, if he gets in the jam, he had the bases loaded yesterday with like one out, and that was over. He struck out the next two guys. It was confidence that you don't always see in the major league level, and especially not with a 22-year-old.
I mean, you always get nervous when there are runners on base, but hey, if you can make it so that the runners on base are completely ineffective, okay, like,
yeah.
If you prove that I can trust you in that situation, I'm going to trust you in that situation. So, and obviously every pitcher is going to give up runs, but, you know, it, Mauer looks good. I'm into it.
Okay, this is what I love about Mauer, and you just brought this up, and I didn't want to, like, sound just really pissed off, but I'm probably going to. This Mariners organization, the Mariners team that we've had for the last 5, you know, maybe even 10 years, is a organization based on entitlement. And I don't mean that in that they deserve it. It's just, you think about Dustin Ackley, who just handed the keys before he was ready. Justin Smoke handed the keys before he was ready. And, like, they just are given these jobs. And it's like, well, have they earned it yet? And on the other side of it, I look at Joe Saunders, the pitcher. He's going to pitch third for the Mariners this season. He was signed. He played for the Diamondbacks and the Orioles last year. He has had just a god-awful spring. His ERA is over 9. And obviously, you know, he's a veteran pitcher. He can get it in place. I want these guys to earn it. I want Brandon Mauer to take what isn't his, that the big three deserve, and make it his own. And that's what he did this spring.
Yeah, more of a Pete Carroll style of Seattle Mariners baseball.
There's none of that. There's none of that in the Mariners organization, that coach compete stuff. I'm not a Seahawks fan, so I guess I can agree with you and be like, you know, Pete Carroll, when you go, you know what you have to do, or you're just going to get cut. You're not going to make the team.
When Pete Carroll, I mean, and you bring up the obvious Russell Wilson. No one expected Russell Wilson to start over Matt Flynn necessarily, and then when that happened, it was a good thing. I mean, I think the Mariners should take notes. Have these guys compete a little bit more for the spots that they're going for. Create some competition within the organization. I'm not saying that there isn't that. I'm sure there is to a certain degree, but I mean, you know, Saunders knows he's going to make the squad. Ibanez knows he's going to make the squad. Ackley knows he's going to make the squad. Smoke knows, in spite of his, like, I mean, I guess we could call his year last year is abysmal too strong of a word. I mean, he didn't have a good year.
Without September, it would have been abysmal.
Yeah, so, I mean, but then that also bears the question, do we have enough talent within the organization to foster that kind of competition outside of the rotation? Because we have all these young guys, yeah, in the rotation, but, you know, what do we have that we could use to create that competition between position players or outfielders? I can't think of anyone really who would come in and, like, surprise us in that way. And I guess if it was a surprise, it'd be a surprise. But you know what I mean.
And this is where my excitement for this year comes from, is this entitlement is slowly decreasing. And there's guys like Jason Bay, who is going to make $16 million from the Mets this year to play for the Mariners, isn't guaranteed a spot. Where a guy like Casper Wells, it doesn't look good. Andy Chavez got signed to a minor league deal because they're not sure that Casper's going to make a team. And if he gets optioned, he might get waived. He might be on a different team.
Oh, I'd rather see him get traded than waived.
I know. I agree. And then you look at the outfield competition. Michael Saunders, despite being on the All-World Baseball Classic, fighting for that starting spot. I see it in some places and I don't see it in others. And I wish it was all that way. I wish we were like the Rays that way.
I think that Saunders not getting a spot in the outfield is ridiculous. I think he's one of the most talented players on this team. And I might be wrong in saying that, but I mean, like, I think he should lead off.
not going to get an ounce of argument from me. Not going to get an ounce of argument from me. What the one player on this team that through this spring I'm losing confidence in, and not like for his career, but like right now, is Dustin Ackley. And it's a weird feeling, but everyone is just hitting the tar out of the ball. Yesterday we set the record for home runs for the franchise in spring training. And Dustin, I don't know. Just a heavy sigh, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, Dustin Ackley, he's one of those guys that I'll always hold out hope for. I feel like Dustin Ackley could have like 5 bad years in a row, and then he could come back. And I mean, like, obviously we'd get rid of him at that point if that really happened. But I feel like he could have like a few bad years in a row, and I'd still be like, this is Ackley's year, you know? And I don't know why that is about Dustin Ackley, but it's just kind of a gut thing. I don't have the same feeling with Smoke. Like, with Smoke, it's like, oh, I see the potential there, but, like, I also see where this could go horribly wrong. And I'm not, like, it's not outside the realm of comprehension for us to get rid of him entirely if he underperforms again this year. But with Ackley, I don't know. I say give him a little bit more room. I don't know why I'm willing to be more forgiving of Ackley than I am of Smoke or... and I'm even more willing to be forgiving of Seager than Ackley, but that's just because I like him and he looks like a hobbit.
Yeah, I like Dustin Ackley a lot. I'm not encouraged by what he's doing and his progression. I look at his numbers last year, and even though consistency is a very good thing, when you're consistently low, like he bats the same against left-handed and right-handed, he bats the same at home and away. That's a great thing if they're consistently good numbers. It's a kind of a scary thing when they're both low.
Maybe the Mariners, or Eric Wedge rather, should consider putting him low in the lineup and having, you know, Saunders up higher and who else would be down there? Maybe, I mean, Morse third, maybe bat Saunders first, have Goody second, and then stick you know, Ackley down 7-8 with smoke, you know? I mean, maybe just giving him the chance to focus on being a baseball player rather than being a big-time leadoff hitter or a prodigy would be a good idea. But I'm not Eric Wedge. I'm not a major league manager.
You're not Eric Wedge?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm just some dude with a microphone making a podcast with his friend, so
yeah.
That's about as much power as I have.
We will have a voice someday.
Someday we will.
When we're co-GMing after Jack Z retires after his 7th World Series, we'll take over.
That's going to be in 10 years.
7 out of 10. Calling it.
Bold prediction time here on the Seattle Mariners pod.
I know
the next 7 out of 10 years the Mariners are going to take the World Series.
That's why they call it 710 ESPN. I know that this is the kiss of death, but Gutierrez has been really nice to see healthy. I know that that just killed him. I bet he just fell over somewhere.
You jinxed it.
He just fell over somewhere with a broken oblique.
He just fell off a ladder trying to clean a gutter.
Why were you up there, Franklin?
I don't know. Had nothing to do today.
But it has been nice to see him in the lineup, and you and I had written him off with no chance of being in the lineup, and now it looks like he's going to be.
I mean, I thought he would be in the lineup, but for, like, you know, anywhere between 3 weeks and 2 months before he got hurt so bad that he was out for half a year, and, you know, got maybe, like, you know, I don't know how many at-bats this year. Not a lot, but I really hope he stays healthy, and I really hope that he can. If he bats, like, 250, I will be happy with him.
Yeah. I hope that you and I change that opinion by, like, July, but yes, I would be happy to.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move into commercials in a second, but last week, I have to say, we had a game where Franklin Gutierrez played center, and we had Jason Bay in left and Raul Ibanez in right, and I was praying that there weren't any balls hit in the outfield. Even though Gutierrez is a gold glove defender, that is the worst outfield we could have.
How old is Bay? Ibanez is 40. How old is Bay?
36, I believe. Let me look that up while you make your point.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I wasn't going to make a point. The point is made. I mean,
he's 34.
That's not too bad, I guess. That's not as bad as I thought. I've been operating under the assumption this whole time that he was like 36 or 37, and Ibanez was 40. And so the combined age of our outfield was like, you know, 110 or something like that. How old is Gutierrez? He's not that old, is he?
You're just asking all these questions.
Yeah, I know. I could look it up myself. If I was smart, I would have looked it up before we started.
I got it, man. I got it. Oh, I love the typing noises on our pod. It's going to be great. 30.
Flat 30. That's not too bad.
No, and he also has been resting for 2 years.
Yeah, he's like a gray shirt or whatever.
Okay, well, so the Mariners commercials came out about a week and a half ago. And I actually think the Mariners have some of the best commercials. I always enjoy them. Some of my favorite memories of the last few really bad years have been the commercials. I think about the one with Ichiro and King Griffey Jr. where they glued Ichiro to the chair. That was funny. And I was just wondering if you had a favorite of the 5 new ones we have for this year.
Let's see. For this round, it's probably going to be the Wise Old Buffalo with Tom Wilhelmson and Brendan Ryan.
That is great.
Just because Brendan Ryan seems so into that sort of idea for a commercial. And it's not like I've met Tom Wilhelmson and talked with him at length, but he did sign a ball for me last year, and we chatted for, like, you know, 30 seconds, and he seemed like a pretty sweet, down-to-earth, cool guy. So it just seems like
insider access you can only get with the Seattle Mariners pod. 30 seconds of interview time with Tom Wilhelmson.
30 seconds of interview time with Tom Wilhelmson, with the bartender.
Bartender!
Yeah, basically. I mean, he was just like, he just walked over and signed balls for a few people, and there weren't very many people there, which I think is why he did it, because if there was like a whole throng of people, he didn't want to stand there for, you know, however long. But yeah. I was the last one, and he signed my ball, and then we just talked for a few seconds, and not even about baseball, just kind of random shooting it, you know?
Yeah.
And he seemed like a super cool, down-to-earth, chill guy. So, I mean, those that commercial really seemed to fit their personalities well. One thing about the commercials this time, though, is that they had lots of random actors in them. Like, in the old days, I feel like it was every commercial was centered around one or two players. But this year, there's one that's, like, most of it is a dude rubbing a lamp, and then Raul Ibanez comes out for, like, 6 seconds. Or, what's the other one?
Where the kid, the guy has, like, 12 kids.
Oh, yeah, and they're all named after all the different Mariners players. So I didn't care for those ones, but I liked all the other ones.
I wondered if they were trying to connect with the fans in some way, make us feel a part of the team. I don't want to be on the team. I'm not a very good baseball player.
I'd be on the team, but everyone would hate me. I would accept the paycheck.
I'd be like, I would produce a little bit less than Nomura did last year. What's the shortstop for the Mariners last year? Japanese player.
Munenori Kawasaki?
Yeah, I would have produced at a level just below him last year.
I would have produced on a level of getting really, really full off the clubhouse spread and then sitting on the bench and doing nothing for the whole game.
Okay. I really enjoyed the one with Michael Morse, Michael Saunders, and Kyle Seager, where they're trying to get comfortable in their own, like, skin and how they find peace at the plate. Anytime a man, like a grown man, rips off a jersey and there's silk pajamas underneath, I'm going to laugh. I don't know why. It just got to me.
For some reason, the Cordy, like, yin-yang shirt got me to laugh a little bit, too, that Morse was wearing. He's like, that's why I always wear this.
That just seemed very believable.
Yeah, it kind of did. I mean, I can't say I know Morse well as a player or have pinpointed his personality because he kind of just got here. But I think this gave us a little bit of a glimpse. And, I mean, obviously the commercials are written for them, but I don't know. You know one of my least favorite commercials of all time?
Go for it.
Last year, the Justin Smoke one where he punches over a tree to make his baseball bat.
That was, like, awful.
Because they stopped airing it after he went down to AAA, and then I just laughed every time a Mariners commercial aired that wasn't that one, because I knew that they had pulled that one.
They had to stop. They had to stop two of them last year because we traded Brandon League, and he was in the fish-throwing one.
Oh, that's right.
So they went from, like, 5 to 2, like, really quickly.
That was one of the, like, worst acted commercials I've ever seen. They're like, hey, Zeus, and he turns around, and then they throw it to him, and he's like,
it was almost like they had, like, it was like as if they just met, like, a few minutes before they made the commercial, too.
That is so likely. It is so likely that that's exactly what happened.
Hey, closer that never goes into the clubhouse, you're going to throw this fish at Jesus Montero. Who's that? Oh, he's the new guy. We just traded Pineda for him. We traded Pineda? That's how that conversation went.
It's funny because that could be so possible.
That's probably
I'm sure they had met in, like, a cursory way, like, shook hands once, but, like, this is probably the first, like, interaction that they had ever had.
We also had the Brendan Ryan Impressions commercial last year that we ran that included George Sherrill, who lasted, like, 3 weeks, and Sean Figgins, who didn't last much longer than that on, you know, as far as playing time.
I love that commercial, though, just because... When George Sherrill turns around after Ichiro does his Sean Connery impression and goes, "That is awesome." I just laugh so hard. But yeah.
And so hopefully this year they can run all the commercials all year. You know, they really brought a buffalo out for that?
I believe it.
I thought it was a green screen thing, and then they showed, like, the behind the scenes and all the players are taking pictures with this buffalo. I was like, wow, that is crazy.
You know something? Let's see. Hang on. One,
tell me.
Two, three, four, five.
We're
six,
clearly wrapping
seven.
Up here.
Yeah, we are. But I'm looking at the Sports Illustrated, the SI.com MLB experts picks, and yep. 4 out of 7 of them have the Nationals taking the World Series this year.
Wow.
And 2 of them have Detroit.
Well, that is a great segue into what our next show will be. We're hoping to have a guest on, but at least the two of us making our picks for all of baseball, mine with the effort of Sports Illustrated and yours with the effort of looking at it right before you sign on. And it should be a great time.
I'll do a little more research than that. I mean, I know the Mariners pretty well, but The rest of the league escapes me a little bit, but I mean, oh my goodness. One of them has the San Diego Padres taking the NL West.
Well, they're nuts.
Yeah, a little bit.
Cool. Do we have any other news and notes for spring training? I know that John Garland was, he used the opt-out clause in his contract, so he's actually with the Rockies now. He pitched well in the spring, but I don't think we needed another arm in long relief, and he didn't want to do that.
And I mean, he was kind of a meh pitcher anyway, and he's going to a place that is meh for pitchers. So, I mean, I might keep an eye on him just to see how it goes. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't do well and then gets released or sent down.
Also, utility player / infielder Brad Miller was with the team in spring training. He was the guy wearing number 77 all over the field. He hit pretty well in spring, just above 270. He was the second-round pick after Danny Holson. I'm 90% sure he will not make the team, but it is exciting. Exciting to have another young guy pushing him and Nick Franklin. That could be the future of the infield right there. You never know, but it is exciting.
Yeah, it's nice to see young guys do well, even if they don't make the team.
It's great to see young guys do well knowing that there are better veteran players at the major league level for now.
Yeah.
So, versus a Milton Bradley taking their spots.
Oh, don't. Stop. No.
I will not say that name again.
You're going to make me have nightmares.
Peyton, it was great to have you on the show again.
Yeah, we man, it's always great to be here for the show.
We will be back at least before the season kicks off one more time. Season kicks off Monday, 6 days from now.
I'm so excited.
I am as well.
All right, so that's a short one for you guys. We'll see you next time on the pod.
Cheers.